Allison.
And it's the Flick Chicks
podcast.
Whoa. I really
just want a soundboard so bad.
We're so insane. We should get one.
I want one. I want to make the sounds like in the douche.
I think that if we start a Patreon, that should be our first and only priority.
I think so too.
Buy our merch to get us a soundboard.
You want those sound effects. We know you do.
We could maybe, like, in the meantime, we could get one of those little, like, cheap sound effect machines that you literally just, yeah. The audio is going to sound terrible, but I'll hold it up to the mic and I'll push it and go. Yes. Pew, 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 pew.
I want the Law and Order gavel.
Oh, okay.
Dun, dun, dun. And the explosion sounds and guitar riffs.
I think we can get I think that's not hard to get.
I think so too, yeah.
It might require us getting like several different cheap sound effect machines, but mm-hmm. we could label.
That's true.
What sounds are important.
Hmm. You're right. Guys, when we make a Patreon, this is what your money will be going to.
Yeah, so please give us money.
Please. Allison still has tuberculosis.
Yeah, I do. It's not as bad.
But it's working itself out.
Consumption.
All right. So, how are you?
I'm good. Let me think.
She's thinking, guys.
Have done nothing. Oh, I've been working on my senior thesis, and I finally got emailed back from everyone that I emailed trying to get a hold of rare scripts, and I think everyone's gonna let me have them.
Good deal.
The only ones that I am still having a trouble getting a hold of are the two really new ones. So, well, really new, I say that. Miss Saigon, I'm trying to get the 2017 version, but it's still touring, so...
Gotcha.
I'm not sure how I'm going to get that, but I'm just hoping that with a few really desperate emails, they'll give it to me, just like everyone else did. And I still need the 2011 Anything Goes.
I think people underestimate desperate emails.
I think they do.
The power of them.
Especially when you're like, look, please, you're like, I'm going to put you in research, and it's going to be in a book.
It's going to be good research.
It's going to be somewhere. Yeah. And the people... from the Cole Porter estate want me to send them my research.
Oh, that's cool.
Once I'm done. That's neat. I know. That's really cool. So, I'm also finding out that a couple of the shows that I thought might have changes, not sure that they do.
Oh.
But it makes my life easier.
No, yeah, for sure.
Because it means I have to do way less work, but also...
The results will be...
Weird.
Weird and interesting. And yeah. They'll be interesting no matter what.
I hope so. Well, especially, I hope the committee isn't... They're not going to be, like, upset because they were already like, are you sure about this project? And I was like, no. But I was like, I think some scripts will have more work than others. And that's just becoming more and more true. Especially because I got the Anything Goes 1934 script. Mm-hmm. Wowza, that is a way different script. Everything is different. There's different characters. There's like way more characters. There's just the wording is so incredibly different because it's the 1930s.
Yeah.
It's, that one's gonna be a toughie.
Yeah, for sure.
How are you?
I'm good. I just worked today. I worked on scholarship stuff, grad school stuff. My life right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just kind of spent time on Reddit.
Yeah. Yeah, I did a lot of that yesterday.
I watched SVU at work, which was great.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was nice.
I've been on Reddit a lot lately now that Game of Thrones is over. Yeah. I've been like, it's meme time.
Yeah. There's some really good
ones. There's some good ones. I won't say anything in case people haven't seen it. Yeah. But.
Watch it so you can see the memes.
Oh my god, they're so funny. I love how the Avengers community, like, they're literally still, I haven't really seen spoilers about Endgame.
Yeah.
And that was out forever ago. Game of Thrones,
they don't care.
2 minutes after it ends. There's so many fucking spoilers literally everywhere. You are not allowed. It's like, with the Game of Thrones community, it's so much like, either watch it or get it spoiled.
Yeah, really. Brutal. Like, yeah, ruthless.
Ruthless. They don't care either. Like, I was on Twitter and I saw this girl's meme and I was looking at the comments and people were like, this spoiled it for me. You just spoiled a huge thing. And she was like, too fucking bad.
Watch it.
She was like, you should have watched it.
Yeah, no, Game of Thrones fans really don't care about each other very much.
No, they do not.
it's not really as much of a, like, a community as others.
It's so funny, too. I'm like, they literally have been, like, on for the same amount of time, those two things.
Yeah.
One is so kind to other people, and the other one's like, fuck you, if you didn't watch it, you didn't watch it.
All right. So, what movie are we covering today?
We are covering Black Swan. Is it The Black Swan?
No, it's just Black Swan.
It's just Black Swan. Some people have been abbreviating it wrong.
Yes, they have. Let me find who... This is a listener episode.
Yes, it is.
Let me find who requested it.
I think a lot of people requested this
one. The first person to request it was our good friend Michaela.
Yay.
And then she kept talking to us about it. And then Liam, our producer, also wanted us to do it.
Yeah.
And then I'm trying to think. There's one other person who I think it was our friend Veronica.
Was it Veronica or was it Hayden?
It was Hayden. It was Hayden.
That's Hayden, who it was. It was you.
Sorry, Veronica. It's Hayden. Thank you, Hayden.
I was like, honestly, I'm not good at keeping up. I don't really understand how to look at notifications on, like, on community pages.
Yeah.
I only know how to look at them on my personal page.
Gotcha.
And so I often don't see comments till days after they've been posted because I don't understand how to look at them.
We're all about timely matter. No, cut that out. That's
okay.
No, the back broke.
Oh, we have to cut a bunch.
Okay, cut that out.
Let me cough before we just. Since we're cutting it out anyway.
Okay. So
Hayden.
So this is a listener episode. Thank you to Michaela, Hayden, and Liam for wanting us to do this movie. It was really fun to watch it.
Yes, it was.
I'd
seen this movie, but not in a while.
Yeah, no, I hadn't seen it since it came out. And it was really better than I remember it, I think.
Yeah.
It was really good. So, 2010, Black Swan, directed by Darren Aronofsky, who did Mother and Requiem for a Dream.
Heck yeah. Mother's so good.
Mother's so good. That was another listener pick we need to do soon.
Yeah, it is. This movie basically is a story about Nina Sayers, who's played by Natalie Portman.
Amazing.
And she wants to essentially be promoted in her ballet company to, like, a prima ballerina. So she wants to play, like, Odette. Like, they just call her the Swan Queen in this.
But her name's Odette.
And also, like, Odelle or something like that. I don't know. I saw that weird cartoon that I think was...
The Barbie one?
No. I've seen that one.
I love that
but
one.
But I'm talking about the one with, I think it was, like, it's, like, the same people that did Anastasia, I think.
Oh, yes. Is it the Swan Prince?
Swan Princess, maybe?
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's good.
That's a good movie.
That's how I know the names. And...
Yeah, that is a good movie. It is a family fun romp, guys.
I had that DVD for so long, and me and my, like, one of my best friends ever, her name's Emily, we found that when we were in high school, and I swear to God, we watched, like, all of them. We just, like, sat down and watched them all. They're good. They hold up. At least when I was in high school, they held up. That was a while ago now, but...
All... What movies?
There's Swan Queen, the Swan Princess, and the Swan Princess 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are two of them. Yep.
Heck yeah, there are.
Heck yeah, there are. But yeah, I just watched the Barbie one a lot.
That one's good, too. I like the Barbie Princess and the Popper. Or, like,
Yes, Princess and the Popper. I
had
the
dolls that sang.
Oh, that's cool.
I know.
That's neat.
I know. I was privileged. So...
Middle class.
Thanks. Someone got me that for my birthday, I'm sure. And,
So, Black Swan.
So, essentially, she wants to be the Swan Princess Queen, and she wants to be the Swan Queen, and
they
can't see what I'm laughing at.
Yeah, sorry, my phone went off, and then I turned it off. Anyway, Nina, this movie really is a movie about Nina kind of her mental decline.
Yeah, it's kind of implied that she probably has, like, schizophrenia, like, pretty severe schizophrenia, and, it's kind of like her stress to get the part and her stress once she does get the part, like, causes the decline of her mental state.
Yeah, and then it just...
And ultimately, like...
Yeah, the stress she puts on her body makes her already bad mental state even worse.
Yeah.
And just leads to her decline.
Yeah. It's got Mila Kunis.
Yeah.
Which is so fun. It's got Winona Ryder.
Yes, which is also fun. And that one guy who plays Toma.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, guy.
Not as important.
This is a female-led film.
Yeah. I also was thinking about how we should start saying whether or not, maybe at the end, so, you know, but about whether or not the movies we review pass the Bechdel test.
Okay, what's that?
So it's a test. I don't know if I'm saying the actual name of the test right, but it's essentially a test where it, to tell you, like, whether or not a movie is, like, I guess, not female-friendly, because I guess all movies are female-friendly. But what, like, whether or not females are, like, an important part of the movie, like, it basically is, like, are the female characters well-rounded?
Yeah,
and the
sure.
only thing that has to happen is that two women have to have a conversation in the movie that is not about a man.
Okay.
That is about something other than a man.
They talk about dance a lot.
They do. And they talk about each other.
Yeah.
Like, so this one does pass that.
Yes.
The Bechdel test.
Awesome.
I think that's the only rule. Pretty sure. I looked it up before this, but that was like 2 days ago.
I'm anxious to watch a movie where that doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen in more movies than I think you think.
Interesting. We'll have to see if it happens in our next movie, which is an older one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
But I thought that'd be fun since we're girls.
Oh, for sure. That'll be great. That's so fun. So, the movie starts with Nina. She's in a ballet company. I Googled it and I think she's 28.
Yeah, I think, yes. I think she's 20.
I Googled it and she was 28. Same age her mother was when she had her.
Oh.
And ruined her career. As her mother says. Man, her mom.
Her mom. I really like this movie, but Jane and I were kind of talking about it last night, and we'll also talk about it more now. When I was reading some of the reviews of this film, people were like, they were either like loving it or they were like bashing it.
Yeah.
Like 100%. There's like no in between where people just think this film's like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It was and a lot of the criticism I saw was that it wasn't accurate to ballet.
But that's not what the movie's about.
I know. It's just confusing because you're like, I understand that maybe it doesn't portray ballet in the best of ways, but it's also an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Who clearly has some problems with her self-image.
And that's why they show us that she has hallucinations and why they show us, like, the self-harming and stuff. Because we know that this narrator is a paranoid, very incredibly sick person.
Yeah, well, and they're not trying to hide it either. Like, and also, I know a lot of people were like, well, it's just boring. But it's like, it's not a movie about the ballet. It's not a movie about her becoming the Swan Queen. Because people were saying, oh, the plot could be told in 30 minutes. And you're like, yeah, but it's not really a plot-driven movie. It's a character-driven movie.
Yeah,
it's about finding out just how sick Nina is.
Yeah.
Because you know she's a little crazy the whole time. But it's like, the more you
In the end, you're just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. In the end, well, it's like, and it's just more, it just progressively gets more and more like, this girl is going off the deep end.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So her mom babies her a lot.
Yeah.
She keep in mind, Nina is 28 years old, and her mother undresses her and dresses her.
Yeah, she's not allowed to pierce her ears. Because that scene after, it's like a banquet or something, or
the gala.
The gala, that's the word. It's, like, after the gala, and she comes home, and she's taking off her fake earrings that are clip-ons, and her mom's like, where'd you get these? And she was like, oh, they're clip-ons. And her mom's like, oh, well, you could have fooled me. And it's like, she's 28 years old.
Yeah. And she's not allowed to have a lock on her door.
No, she doesn't. There's no lock in the bathroom either.
Yeah.
Creepy.
And, like, yeah, she did have self-harm issues. And I wonder, it's interesting how it kind of throws us in this particular time, and they don't really talk about or show us anything of Nina's life before the movie starts,
mm-hmm.
because they don't, like, all they really mention is that, like, are you scratching yourself again?
Yeah,
because she scratches herself, like, you know, it's a OCD thing.
OCD, yeah. Well, and it seems like she has like some kind of self-harm disorder where she cannot stand when when it's not like when something's not smooth, if yeah. that makes sense. Like yeah. she needs like, I mean, and they go on and on and on about this a lot in the movie about like her need for perfection.
Yes.
And it's like every time she has a hangnail, she has to pick it, even if it makes it worse. She mm-hmm. her fingernails constantly have to be like clipped. She you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even her like buns are super tight and super perfect.
Yeah.
And she's very like neat.
Yes. Yeah, she's completely just controlled.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's under control is what she wants you to think. Yeah. Her outward appearance and, like, how she manages her body and stuff yeah. is, like, looking completely controlled. But obviously, she's not.
Yes.
And her mom cuts her fingernails, like, with
scissors!
And it's horrible. And then she, like, cuts her. And of course she does, because you're cutting your fingernails with scissors.
I know. Get a nail clipper. It's 2010.
Yeah.
You can get nail clippers. I hate that.
I know.
It's so scary. Oof. Ugh. That whole fingernails.
Yeah, the whole fingernail thing when she, like, picks at her hangnail enough and just rips the skin. Obviously, it's a hallucination, but at the same time, it's like, oh my god.
It's so gross. I hate that stuff. This movie is full of the stuff I hate the most in horror movies. Like, first of all, just little. I can stand, like, watching you get your limb. I can watch someone get stabbed, like, all that stuff. Not to sound like a psycho, but...
Hey, yeah. We did scream.
It's like the little things, like the peeling of skin.
Yeah.
Also, I hate mirror things. I think I've mentioned that before. I hate, it scares me so bad when people look into mirrors and the reflection does something different. I hate that. And it's being used a lot in horror recently.
It happens all the time in this movie. And I think the use of mirrors in most movies are like duality. Kind of, yeah. And this movie plays with duality a lot, you know, obviously.
White Swan, Black Swan.
Yeah, Nina, Lily, so the duality of man.
Also, Lily has literal fucking black wings tattooed on her back.
I know,
like,
it's not
how
subtle
much more heavy-handed can you get? Literally, oh my god, I wonder.
Is she the Black Swan? Oh my god.
But, I don't know, I don't hate when metaphors are heavy-handed.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a way to do it.
Yeah.
I think this does it.
No, yeah, I definitely think it does. It, like, you're gonna have to look for it, but not very hard.
No, I mean, it's really pretty.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious, and also I think both of us are pretty sensitive to metaphors. Yeah.
I mean,
and
it's like, oh my god, we saw a mirror for the 40th time. Yeah. What does that mean? I wonder.
We saw one person with Nina's face.
Oh yeah, that happens a lot.
She like hallucinates other people, her face being on other people.
A lot.
Which I think is probably like a fear. I think her just feeling like she's out of control is mm-hmm. like a complete fear. And then her realizing slowly that she's not in control. And she never was.
Yeah.
It is very horrible for her.
I don't know. Also, I think it's really interesting, like, we were talking about her mom and how her mom, like, babies her.
Yeah.
I think it's very interesting. It's like, well, I mean, for her mom, it's like, clearly her mom has some problems, too.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not quite sure what they are, but clearly she has some control problems, like Nina does. But then also mm-hmm. it's like, Nina is, like, what she wishes she had been.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's like those ladies who, like, put their daughters in pageants because they, like, didn't do well
pageants.
In pageants or whatever. It's like that, and she, like, talks to Nina about, you ruined my career, you know, I sacrificed my body for you. And it's almost like, the least you can do is sacrifice your body for me. And it's like, what?
Well, not quite.
Not quite, Mom.
It's very freaky.
It is. This movie's so freaky.
She and her undergarments.
Yes, they're all pink
they're all lacy.
Like,
and lace, like, and, but, like, lace. Like, lacy the way, like, little kids' underwear
I know, it's
not
so
like,
creepy. Her room is so scary.
I know, it's literally, like, what my room's like when I was 7.
Yeah, it's really scary. It's all pink and stuff.
It's just stuffed animals, like, all over the place.
Yeah.
Very
and
weird.
She deals a lot with sexual repression, and
yeah,
it is hinted
theme.
At a lot that she is gay.
Mm-hmm.
With, like, the girl saying, oh, she's staring at me.
Yeah, that girl, apparently we know that she's, like, always staring at the other girls. Mm-hmm. Clearly she has some kind of thing for Lily.
And she never really makes a move on Tomah until the end, which is more of a power thing. We were talking about that last night.
I definitely, at the very end, she does kiss Tomah. But also, I think that's because she wants him to know, like, look, I'm bad, or look, I'm in control. Yes. Or I'm yes. the most powerful.
Yes.
I'm the supreme bitch.
I'm definitely. And it's so interesting to think about the theme of control in this movie, because it's yeah. so, it has so many different areas that you can look into, like yeah. Thomas, and then Lily and Nina and her mom, and all these different like layers of control that are going on yeah. in the movie.
When it's like all these people struggling for control mm-hmm. of Nina, basically.
Yeah, even Nina can
struggling for control of Nina.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's weird too, because like we were talking about last night, a lot of people don't like this movie because Nina is such a subdued personality. Mm-hmm. Like, she's so meek. And a lot of people say, for one, they said that she wouldn't survive in the business if she was that meek. And it's like, yeah, that's true. But again, this is fictional. And also, she's a technically perfect dancer.
People mention it multiple times.
I know. Even if Natalie Portman's not, like, pretend.
Nina is.
And so she's, like, a technically perfect dancer. I think if you were that good, you would be hired.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because we don't know when she started. We don't know how involved her mom was in getting her a job.
Yeah, her mom was obviously a higher-ranking ballerina.
Yeah, I mean, she was at least in the company.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And then what was I talking about? I was going somewhere.
Going somewhere.
With my train of thought, and then I got sidetracked on... something.
I don't remember.
What did I say? Oh my god. Well, I'm sure I'll come back to it.
So I did, this is really interesting. So the soundtrack, Thomas talks a lot about how, like, this is his take on Swan Lake, and this isn't, mm-hmm. like, any Swan Lake that has been done before.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, the Swan Queen is being played by one person
instead of two people.
Because he's playing with duality.
The Duella. Dean. I'm going to make that joke 87 times.
It's so funny. Okay, watch
Community. Watch Community.
And anyway, so the actual soundtrack, which was made by Clint Mansell, is Tchaikovsky's Swan Lake played backwards and distorted a lot.
Creepy.
It's so creepy. Again, Duella Dean. And we talked about this a little bit, about how it was meant to be a psychological horror film, but it's labeled as, like, more of a psychological drama.
Drama, yeah. Which also makes some people angry.
Yeah, because it is more of a horror movie.
Well, I mean,
it's kind of like Get Out.
It's definitely, like, yeah, it's, like, kind of like Get Out. I mean, not the satire, but it's a psychological thriller mm-hmm. that has scary elements.
Yes, yes.
And, like, a lot of people did not like that, mm-hmm. especially, I think, because it was nominated for Oscars, they didn't like it.
Yeah, which...
But I also think that the reason it got nominated for Oscars is because it didn't label itself as a horror film.
Yeah, yeah, and I have the list of movies that are technically horror. Mm-hmm. This is assuming that Get Out and Black Swan could be considered horror,
yeah.
Which they can be.
Yeah. I mean, I think they can.
And so, like, the only ones to be only horror movies to be nominated for Oscars are Black Swan, Get Out, The Sixth Sense, Silence of the Lambs, Jaws, and The Exorcist.
That's so interesting.
And the only two of those that are actual, like, really, really horror movies are The Exorcist and Jaws.
Yeah. I mean, really. It's because, I mean, The Sixth Sense, yeah, it has some supernatural elements, but it's...
And Silence of the Lambs is still, like,
literally, drama. Literally yeah. is a drama, almost.
Yeah. Jaws and The Exorcist are two just... But they're horror. They were marketed as horror.
Horror, and they are horror.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate the Oscars.
I hate the Oscars. They snub horror movies so much. Hereditary!
I'll never get over it. I'll never get over Hereditary in eighth grade being snubbed.
Listen, Green Book?
Green Book. Not that it's a bad movie,
but... Not that it's a bad movie.
It's not that great, either.
And Hereditary didn't even get a nomination.
Yeah, they're in eighth grade. Ugh. We know how I feel. We know how we feel. I saw that meme and that was like the Oscars party, and it had a banner that said 8th grade was snubbed.
I love it.
So true.
So this is interesting. So in the beginning scene, Nina is eating like a grapefruit and a soft boiled egg, and that's a meal eaten a lot in Requiem for a Dream.
He likes that meal. I wonder what that means.
I don't know. Also, the black feathers that she starts to sprout is from, or it's a reference to the fly. Mm-hmm. So Jeff Goldblum in that movie, he like started to sprout like insect like hairs.
Ew.
And he like, you know, started taking them out of him.
What's that? What's that short story by Kafka?
The Metamorphosis.
The Metamorphosis.
Yeah.
That's what this is like.
I mean, it is a metamorphosis, technically. She's turning into a swan in her brain.
That's true. She's crazy.
She thinks she's turning into a swan. It's very sad.
I remember what I was going to say about her meek personality.
Good.
People don't like this because she has such a meek personality, and they think that she's overwhelmed by everyone else. They think that Natalie Portman, as an actress, is outplayed by, like, Mila Kunis and Winona Ryder. But I want to remind everyone that this is a film from Nina's perspective.
Yes.
She's not a confident woman. And and also, like, you think about it, you're like, oh, Lily, she's so evil. It's like, but if you take away, at the very end, we kind of can figure out what are hallucinations and what's real.
Yes.
We kind of, by the end, we know. And if you think about it, Lily never does anything to Nina that's mean.
No.
Not that's real. Like, yes, she does really mean things in her brain.
Because she's paranoid and not stable.
But she tries to talk to her. She's super nice to her. She tries to talk to the director, which granted was a bad move, but she does try to talk to her.
She had good intentions.
She had good intentions. When that doesn't work, she comes and apologizes to her, tries to take her out, tries to set her up with a guy, especially because the director probably said, like, I want you to try and loosen her up.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, and also that a lot of people think that the sex scenes are very gratuitous.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. There's two, like, kind of pretty sexual scenes in this movie.
One with her and Toma, and one with her and Lily.
Yeah. So the one with her and Toma is when they're dancing after he sends the other dancers home, and he's like, I'm the prince. And they kind of start messing around.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that is a power thing.
Yes.
And it's not in her head. He does it.
Yeah, it's a power thing, though.
But it's clearly, like, him asserting his dominance over her.
And then saying, I don't want you to be this submissive.
Exactly.
Is I want you to be more dominant, but, like, I shouldn't be dominating you.
Exactly. Which is, granted, he's a horrible guy.
No, he's a terrible guy. He's a creep. But that's what it means.
So that's what it means. It's not, I don't think it is gratuitous. And then the other one, one that people think is really gratuitous, probably because it's very, very hot, is the scene between Mila Kunis and Natalie Portman when they are having sex, lesbian sex. And it ends up being a hallucination, a fantasy.
Yeah, yeah. She was just obviously touching herself and
imagining.
But she thought it was real.
But here's the thing. First of all, she's crazy. Second of all, it's not gratuitous because it changes something. After she does that, which, and again, like it or not, this movie has a huge theme of, like, sexual frustration.
Yeah.
Being sexually repressed, and that is a scene in which she essentially, by choice, it's the first time she ever does anything sexual by her own choice.
Yeah.
Ever. Because she never once, every scene where something happens to her, like a kiss or a touch or anything like that, somebody else initiates it.
Yeah, leading up to this point.
And she just does this. She initiates this. And so
she disobeys her mother.
Yeah. Yeah, she locks her mom out with a stick.
Oh, what's interesting is whenever they come in the door and Nina and Lily come in the door, like, you can only see Lily behind a pane of glass. Because she's not real. So that's kind of spooky.
But so they, you know, have sex, but it's her getting over her sexual repression. It's her becoming sexually unrepressed.
Yes.
It's her acknowledging that she has these desires and, like, acting on them, even though it's not real. She thinks it is.
Yeah,
and so,
yeah.
And it's also what causes her to be able to do the ballet. It's what allows her to let go of some control.
Yes.
And by doing that, become better. And, like, I think that that's a big thing is, like, sex. Sex in a lot of stories, like, it's never sex, you know what I mean? It's like, sex is a lot of times a symbol of power or a symbol of, like, dominance. And it's something that she's missing. lot of, like, while she wants control so badly, there's, like, this thing that she can't grasp, because to her, it's, like, sex is something where you lose control, but she doesn't understand that it's a power thing.
Yeah.
And it is a way to control things.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, when you think of Beth, Winona Ryder's character, she used sex as a control device. And when that didn't work, she, like, lost.
And it's like when Nina says, whenever Winona Ryder is like, oh, did you suck him off? And Nina was like, I didn't have to.
Yeah, which is, like, bullshit. And it's literally like she got it. She got the part because she showed dominance in a different way.
Yeah.
It's all, he wants these dominant women.
Yes, for sure. He wants women to come in and ask him for the part.
Exactly. Which is disgusting.
He's disgusting.
But it is what it is. It's what he wants.
Yeah.
And it's clearly something that is acknowledged in that company.
Yeah, for sure. That it's kind of not commonplace, but they do acknowledge the fact that he uses sex as power, yeah, and he expects power.
But that's why I think it's not gratuitous. Like, it might seem a little like, yeah, it's...
But it's still plot-driven.
Exactly. It is plot-driven. It comes out of the plot. It changes the plot. And it's thematically... There's a ton of lead-up. Exactly. And it's thematically coherent. So I don't think it's fair to say that just because it seems like it's too hot, that it's like...
Yeah.
Not... that it shouldn't be in there. There's a lot of gratuitous nudity in Game of Thrones. You know what I mean? Scenes where being naked or having sex adds nothing to the plot.
Yeah.
It doesn't add anything to the character. But this is, like, literally what her entire character's been leading up to is this big moment of her having sex.
Yeah, and even when they are having sex and she looks down and Mila Kunis's face becomes her own face, and it's like that dark part of Nina that she imagines, like, that she imagines is growing stronger and stronger because her brain is kind of, I think, with Tomas, like, him pushing her to kind of create this alter ego within herself to be, like, intense and dark, because that's what he wants. He wants someone who can embody both the light and the dark swan. And it's kind of tearing her apart inside, coupled with the fact that she's destroying her body.
Yeah, I mean, she is. And a lot of, this is another thing, a lot of reviews I read, they were like, the injuries she gets are not real. Like, yeah, like, dancers' feet get hurt and stuff. But they were like, this wouldn't happen. But I'm like, first of all, she's a professional dancer, so she's dancing, like, 8+ hours a day.
Yeah.
In studio. Which is already going to be hard on your body. But a lot of professional dancers do a lot to take care of their bodies outside of the studio because they know they're going to be putting themselves through so much physical activity and stuff like that. So they stretch and they take care of themselves. Nina's are bulimic.
Yes.
Nina's bulimic. So she's already not taking care of her body that way. She also, because she's so obsessed with perfection, that woman probably rehearses outside of the studio all the time. Like, pretty much almost every time she's at home, she's either sleeping, eating, or practicing.
Yeah, that's all she does.
That's all she does. And so, if you're constantly pushing your body like that and you're not taking care of yourself, you are going to have a bunch of injuries.
And it's a signifier of her, like, not having control over her own body.
Mm-hmm. Especially when, again, like, this really bothers me. People being like, this is, a lot of people really don't like this movie, especially people that do work in the dance industry. Because basically they say it's an unrealistic bad depiction of a professional ballet company. Mm-hmm. It makes it look like it's all, you know, sex and power driven. It makes it look like it's this dog eat dog, you have to kill yourself for your art kind of world. But I don't think the message of this movie is that Nina's better for having done what she did.
Oh no, not at all.
She's worse off for having done what she did. She dies. Like, yeah,
literally dies.
She literally goes insane, thinks she murders someone, actually kills herself, all to achieve this, like, standard of perfection for one night.
Yeah.
In a run where she could have been running for a long time. And it's like, it's clearly a message on how people take their art too far.
Yeah, and they strive for perfection, but perfection really isn't a thing.
Achievable, exactly.
And whenever she's dying, she's even saying it was perfect. And she's dying, and she's saying that.
And her and Tomas saying, like, what did you do? What did you, like, everyone's freaking out because, like, what the fuck, Nina?
Yeah, you're bleeding in your stomach. And you just got off of the dance floor. And you did amazing. What is going on?
I know. It's literally, she stabs herself. And honestly, when you think about it, the stab wasn't that bad. Because it's just a shard of glass. It's not really a big shard of glass. And it's in her side.
Yeah.
Or no, it's in her front.
It's in her front stomach,
yeah. But it's still not, like, people get stabbed there all the time and they don't die.
Yeah.
But she pushed her, so she continued to, like,
dance. And she didn't even think about it being there because she thought she had murdered someone else because it's still that duality.
Yeah.
You know, but she literally did this dance, the entire, like, last part of the whole dance as the White Swan with a piece of glass
in her stomach. Well, and it's also this, I think it's Nina metaphorically killing that part of herself that's not the Black Swan.
Yeah.
But it's like, you can't kill any part of yourself. You're one person.
Yeah, definitely.
You're not any one side of a coin.
Even though that's what Tomal wanted her to be.
Yeah.
Which is, he's disgusting.
I mean, he is. He clearly
does not care about his dancers.
No. I mean, Beth literally walks out in front of a car.
Yeah.
Or a truck or whatever.
His little princess.
What?
Oh, and he calls her his little princess at the end.
Yeah. Well, and there's that whole scene where she's like, I bet in no time he'll be calling you little princess. All you have to do is let him eat you out. But it's, I don't know, a lot of their complaints about this movie are about how it's an inaccurate representation of, like, ballet as an art. But it's not a movie about ballet.
No, it's not a dance movie.
You can go watch a movie about ballet. This is a movie about a very sick woman who happens to be a ballerina.
Yes, a very mentally ill woman who happens to be a ballerina and is pushing herself too far.
Exactly. And I think that it's like, that's not a valid argument. And it, I mean, there are some things that I agree are a little like, okay, that would never happen. Like, they would never add Lily as the alternate at the last minute. There would be understudies, of course. But also, it's like, it's supposed to serve a dramatic structure.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, once again, like how I said earlier with how Nina, we kind of see Lily as the bad guy in this film almost, even though Lily actually never does anything bad.
Mm-hmm.
All because of the way Nina sees Lily.
We see all the characters as Nina sees them.
Exactly. So we're seeing a ballet where everything is really stressful. It's high stress. It's a lot of pushing. It's a lot of yelling. But we're seeing it from the point of view of a woman who hates herself.
Yeah.
Who wants perfection, who just keeps pushing herself. Like, imagine how these other dancers see her. It seems like no other dancer has any problem in this film. Nobody's upset.
Yeah.
It's not like anyone's freaking out or anything.
It's her.
Exactly.
She's the one who is struggling, and that's the journey that we're going on, is Nina's journey and not anyone else's.
And not...
Not the dance industry.
Exactly. And it's like, it's not a story about a production of Swan Lake.
No, and even, like, they make that clear, because Tomas, like, this is my new version of Swan Lake.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, it's not about that. It's not about the production. Like, it's obviously... It's not, or we would never leave the dance studio.
Yeah.
But we follow Nina home. We follow her to the club where she meets those guys. Like, it's clearly about Nina, which is what I think people fail to remember, is that it's about Nina. It's not about ballet. If it was about ballet, this would not be a good movie.
No.
But it's about Nina.
So it's a good movie.
So it's a good movie because it does a good job. And I know she's meek. I know people don't like that. A lot of people were like, a girl that meek would never even get into the chorus of a dance company, let alone be the lead. And you're like...
But that's her character, and she's a technically perfect dancer.
She's a technically perfect dancer. I don't believe that. I don't believe you could be a technically perfect dancer, but you're too meek.
Yeah, and also, Natalie Portman had to train her voice to be that, like, that soft sounding. And she said it was really hard because coming up, you know, in film and stuff, people always wanted her to speak out more because she naturally has a very, like, kind
soft
of
voice.
Soft voice, but she had to, like, kind of regress back, and she said it was really, really hard.
Yeah.
And she says that's hard on top of her doing all that freaking
dancing.
Well,
she also learned, she lost, like, 30 pounds for this role, and she learned all this dance stuff.
Yeah, and people complain about it. They're like, oh, it's a stunt double. First of all, I got numbers. So there were 139 dance shots in the entire film. And 28 were done by dance double, Her name was Sarah Lane, and then 111 were done by Natalie Portman.
Yeah, so screw you.
Screw and also, you. She put work in.
A lot of people complained in the reviews about, like, how do we know she's a technically perfect dancer? We barely even ever see her dance. It's, like, constantly just, like, camera spinning around her or close-ups of her face. And I'm like, well, Natalie Portman's not a real ballerina. This is a movie. It's fake. And they're lying to you. So you're supposed to assume that she's a good dancer and not watch for her technique in every little shot.
If the movie tells you she's a technically perfect dancer, she's a technically perfect dancer.
Yeah, she doesn't. A billion people say that. Okay. It's said many times. Never. Like, nobody. Like, Toma clearly says, like, a bunch. Your dancing is technically perfect, but
no soul.
No soul. It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
It's a real problem that artists have. But it's not a movie about ballet, so stop commenting as though it's a movie about ballet.
Yeah. Yeah. So, do you have a review for me?
Yeah, I do. I looked at a lot. Most of them weren't funny. Let's see. Boop, 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 boop. Here it is. This one is a 1 out of 10. It's called, the title is The Black Turkey. What? Oh, also I want to say the scene, the actual Swan Lake scene, yeah, where she is doing the dance, so beautiful.
Oh my gosh. It is so beautiful. This movie's gorgeous.
Mm-hmm. It really is pretty. And it's like crazy that she thinks she kills Lily. And she's okay with it.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry I asked you to do your review before okay. We were done talking.
Okay, so, The Black Turkey. Another artsy-fartsy film about an artsy-fartsy subject made for the artsy-fartsy crowd. The Black Swan is a tedious, stagnant, and derivative film that goes absolutely nowhere.
Ooh, vocab list!
I know. Well, oh my god, those are 10-cent words. Well, one wonders, what can be as exciting as the backstage story of a young lady competing to be the prima ballerina in the new production of The Black Swan? First of all,
it's the called name of the movie.
It's called Swan Lake. It's a real ballet.
By one of the most famous composers of all time.
The Black Swan's the name of the film because that's the one she struggles to become. Okay. Not much, really, because under normal circumstances, there is nothing going on in this type of environment, unless one is interested in underweight, monomanic girls with inflated egos whose main objective in life consists of perfecting the... I do not know this word. I should look this up. V-A-C-U-O-S-I-T-Y. What is that?
That's not... I don't think that's...
Look it up. Look it up. I want to know. This guy used a lot of 10-cent words already.
Also, that's rude to ballerinas.
Yeah, it is. What the hell? You literally just said nothing interesting goes on behind the stage of a ballerina except girls with inflated egos.
Yeah, that's not
egos.
A word.
It's not?
No, I think he, like, just misspelled something.
Ha ha ha! Now I'm not stupid. Perfecting the fake word of dancing. On top of that, The Black Swan is a film whose characters, without exception, are despicable.
Oh.
Remember... Our narrator's unreliable.
Hallucinations, you guys.
She's unreliable and she's paranoid. The main character, Nina, for instance, could easily be described as a pathetic, anorexic, obsessive, and psychologically weak young lady.
Psychologically weak? She is mentally ill.
She literally has schizophrenia.
She has a really serious illness, and also she's bulimic.
Yeah, not anorexic.
Get your freaking mental illnesses straight before you come and talk to me.
Easily be described.
Okay, first of all, both of those are wrong.
Her mother is an abusive, bitter, has-been type of person.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's true.
But I don't think we're supposed to like her mom.
No, I think that we're deaf. She doesn't like her mom, so I think that we're not supposed to like her mom.
Nina's friend, if we may call her that, is a dancer who smokes. A clear sign of the presence of the tobacco lobby in action. He literally just said that the only reason that Lily smokes in that, first of all, I think she smokes in maybe 2 scenes, max. I can only think of one, but I'll give him an extra just in case. Is because Big Tobacco paid.
It's supposed to show she's a bad girl.
Exactly. Dancers aren't supposed to do that because it's bad for their health.
And she's a bad girl, and that's what you're supposed to get. She has wings tattooed on her back. Black wings.
Okay, so she smokes and does drugs. He said and do drugs, but I went ahead and corrected it for him. The choreographer, of course, is a sex addict that preys on the vulnerability of his young dancers, and the rest of them, which are all the other dancers, seem to be poised to stab each and every one in the back so that they can get the most coveted part in the production. They are all very inspiring, I guess.
Maybe that's because the main character is paranoid and thinks everyone is trying to steal her part.
Unreliable. Nobody cares. Lily makes it... First of all, I just want to say, Lily is literally hired to come in. And she doesn't care that she doesn't have the part. Yeah. The Swan Lake's a huge ensemble ballet. All these people are getting paid.
Yeah.
Who cares if they're the main part? There's a couple of people who want it. Only a couple of people.
Yeah.
Like Beth and that one girl at the very beginning, Veronica or whatever.
Yeah.
They don't like her because she's weird.
Yeah, that's all it is they don't like her because she's weird.
It's not like everyone's trying to stab each other in the back.
Everyone else is friends except for Nina.
Literally. The end of The Black Swan, of course, is very cliche, as is the whole film. Because, as expected, what matters in the end is the performance, the perfection of execution, and all that stupid blah 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 about winning and succeeding at any cost. Again.
It's against that.
It's against that. It's not good. She dies. She kills herself to be good in one... If you think about this, I understand Nina's happy. She's happy. But we as an audience are supposed to recognize that she gave up her literal life for one production. First of all, her only lead she's ever gotten in a ballet.
Yeah.
She dies opening night.
Because she wants perfection.
Exactly. And even if she didn't die, she wouldn't play anymore. They wouldn't let her.
Ugh.
Not for it. It's against it. To spike the interest in and keep the attention of the male audience watching this masterpiece,
oh no,
the producers resorted to an old trick and introduced two gratuitous sex scenes, one of them depicting lesbian sex, in the film. We already talked about how that's not gratuitous.
Yeah.
It's not. So in the end, we have a film with unpleasant characters, a weak script, and a story which could have been told in 15 minutes. This is a story. This is a character story.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a plot story.
A character story isn't supposed to be told in 15 minutes if it's a full-length movie.
It's also... Yeah, I mean, I guess if we cut out everything that tells us anything about Nina, it's like a girl auditions for a part. She doesn't get it at first, but then she gets it. She trains. She does well. She dies. Yeah, that you're right. We could boil it down to that. But considering we're supposed to get to know Nina and understand why it ends the way that it ends.
Yeah.
It takes longer.
And also, it is a more satisfying movie.
Also, people need to stop caring. Listen, I, for one, am a very firm believer that you can have a plot in which almost nothing happens, but that if the characters are good, it's still compelling.
I agree.
If we care about the characters, it's still compelling. If we're engrossed in them, and we care about Nina, we're worried for her.
Yeah, she's a worrisome...
She's not doing well.
No, we want her to get help.
Exactly. And
she just keeps pushing
it's also,
herself.
We just keep watching. It's, like, interesting to watch her descent.
Yeah, her... Because you kind of want to help her, and you want her to get better, and every time, like, when Lily reaches out to her, you're like, no, please.
Yes.
But she just doesn't.
I don't like when people need, like, action every 2 seconds. Like, why does something have to happen every 2 seconds in a film for it to be good? Or a movie, or a play, or whatever.
Yeah. It's a journey.
It's a journey. Take it. And then it says, well, it seems Black Swan is the perfect Oscar contender.
Jesus.
Person does not like the Oscars. I don't like the Oscars either, but...
No. I think that Natalie Portman deserved the win.
I think so, too.
I thought she was great. I did have one more. I was thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So the theme of sexual repression, every time that Nina touches herself, the first time her mom is in the room,
mm-hmm.
like, she doesn't realize it. So there's one, like, every time that she touches herself or has, like, a sexual thing, there's always a woman around, and that also, like, kind of hints to you that she
is a lesbian. Like, in the bathtub, you see, like, the face that comes up above the water and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that the scene where her mom is in the room is particularly interesting.
It's just really weird.
It's really weird.
Her mom is so against her having sex, too.
Yeah, she's 28 years old.
She's 28 years old. What was I was reading this review and it reminded me of another review I read that was interesting. I don't know. A lot of people, I don't know. The reasons you have for not liking this film kind of show me that you didn't get the film. Oh my god, one review I read. The person literally thought it was like Fight Club. They thought Lily didn't exist.
Oh no.
They thought, oh, by the way, spoiler for Fight Club if you haven't seen it. But, sorry, Fight Club's been out for a while. Go watch it. Brad Pitt did that 20 years ago. Spoiler. Okay, but Tyler Durden doesn't exist, sorry. They thought that Lily was like a figment, like was a split personality
mm-hmm.
of Nina. And they thought that she didn't exist and that she never existed. No, Lily's real.
Because, you know that because she interacts with other characters.
True. And she is definitely real. Other people talk about her. She does, in fact, talk to Nina. Sometimes Nina imagines her when she's not there.
Yeah, she's just a very mentally ill person who has hallucinations and is very paranoid.
Yeah. And Nina sees Lily as, like, the black swan. Like, the perfect black swan.
Yeah, and so she wants to strive to be her.
So she tries to, like, embody her, which is why a lot of times she sees her as herself. She sees herself as Lily. Mm-hmm. She sees Lily as her, like... It's not Fight Club. That's not what it is. I read that and I was like, this person did not get it. I was like, oh, wow, this person was very confused.
Oh, that sucks. I'm sorry if you're confused about the movie. I hope you understand it better now.
I don't think it's that confusing.
No, the metaphors are pretty heavy-handed.
Yeah. I mean, duality, sexual repression.
Yeah. Yeah. Power.
Power.
That's all you got, guys.
Black swan, white swan. Kind of the thing. Whoa, it was rough. I was like, oh, this person.
Yeah, poor Nina. Sad, sad lady.
Yeah, I like this film. Everyone leave it alone.
I do too. I agree. Leave it alone.
Leave it alone. It's good. I think it's kind of forgettable.
Yeah.
Like.
It was a really fun ride.
It's a fun, yeah,
I liked thinking
movie.
About it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like, it's one of those movies, you don't have to watch it too intensely
mm-hmm.
to get it. Some movies, it's like, if you take your eye away from the screen, you might miss something
especially
vital.
With psychological thrillers. I think this is a really kind of low-stake psychological thriller.
Yes, it is.
It's very easily understood, whereas a lot of them are kind of like, what?
Yeah, a lot of them, it's like, if you didn't pay attention, buddy, yeah. you're out. Yeah.
Like, The Prestige. If you ever not, if
oh
you
my god,
that,
I
if,
love The Prestige.
Too, but if you don't pay attention
to it. If you
don't
pay attention, you're like, what happened?
What is going on?
He's where? He's who?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... That movie has so many twists just for the sake of having, like...
I love
just
it.
Just because they were like, how do we get ourselves out of this hole here?
I love it.
Oh, the deed was behind this picture frame the whole time, and now we can save the house.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. But, yeah, I think...
Yeah.
What do you give it?
Oh, I give it probably, like... It's really, technically, it's like a great movie. Like,
it really
it's
is.
It's gorgeous.
Sarah Aronofsky
and the writing is good. And I think it gave it an 8 out of 10. It's really good. The yeah. acting is great. Everything about it is really good. It is kind of forgettable, but like,
yeah.
as a technical movie, it's really good.
Yeah, I don't know why. Darren Aronofsky makes really good movies, but I feel like they're forgettable.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's sad. Because, like, Mother?
Mother's
really
kind of forgettable.
Really good, but I don't think about it a lot.
No, me either.
Even though it's like, this is a good dang movie.
Oh, yeah.
A dang good movie.
But listen, I think about Jaws at least once a day.
That's so true.
But I don't think about
Mother,
Black Swan, or Mother.
I think about Hereditary all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why. I also think that Darren Aronofsky works with famous people a lot, which is good for the draw to his movie.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, if you can have a really good movie with people that I don't really know who they are,
yeah,
I prefer that.
I do.
Because yes. I think, for me... It makes the movie stick in my mind more because I only associate those actors with that film.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I mean, sometimes you'll see them in other stuff, and then, I mean,
Yeah, in Hereditary, like, Toni Collette, pretty well-known actress, but not, like, the most...
But like, she's not, been, like, famous.
She's been nominated for a couple of Oscars, but that's just because she's a good actress.
Yes, but she's not, like, Natalie Portman.
Yeah, famous. Natalie Portman
Or Jennifer Lawrence famous. Like, she's not like that.
Yeah, and also Alex Wolff, not, like...
Oh, yeah,
that,
that's true.
That famous.
Yeah, it's like Alex Wolff, he has a name. You know him from the Naked Brothers Band, but you haven't seen him in 10 years.
Yeah.
So you can kind of forget
that
that's who he is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I really, yeah, I give it an 8 out of 10, too.
It's good.
It just, I don't know why his films are so forgettable. They are good.
No, they're great. I don't know why they are. And I love psychological thrillers, but, like, I take something like Shutter Island, and that's way more, like, memorable for me.
I get, maybe it's just because it's, like, it's not predictable when you're watching it, but it's not really, like, breaking any ground.
Yeah.
Also, I get maybe a part of it is that he is so heavy-handed in his metaphors. Like, he just is. He's a heavy-handed director. And so, it's just one of those things where you're, like, you don't have to think about it as much, so it doesn't stick with you as much.
Yeah.
Like, I think it appeals to a wider audience that way.
I agree. I think that,
okay. It's like, why are your movies nominated for Oscars and the other ones aren't?
Spoiler for Shutter Island. But, like, in that movie, you cannot tell that the hallucinations are hallucinations.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, we easily catch on that. But, like, in Shutter Island, you don't catch on to the last 15 minutes or so that, like, he's not well.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, I think this movie is more about a spiraling person. Than Rob Snow's,
I think she's well.
Yeah, she's not well.
All right.
Thank you guys for listening. Thanks for suggesting this movie.
Yeah. So next week's Jane's pick.
Yes.
And then Jane's going to Spain.
I'm going to Spain. Ooh.
So we're going to record another episode this week so that we have one for the week Jane's gone.
Yep.
Got
to deliver.
Yep, we do. I mean, we never let you guys down. And we have social media.
Yes.
It'll probably be linked in the show notes because I don't want to say all the words.
Yes. And Flick Chicks is edited and produced by Liam Mandelbaum.
Yee!
And he likes this movie.
He does. Thank you guys for recommending it. It's good.
It's good.
I was worried we weren't going to have a lot to talk about, but...
We enjoyed it. The themes are very good.
We always have stuff to talk about when people don't like the movie, you know?
Yeah.
Or when people don't... when we think people don't understand the movie, we have a lot to talk about.
I think God's Not Dead was probably one of our, like, most...
Whoa!
We had the most content to talk about.
That one's good. Hereditary, although the audio quality on that one's really shit.
I really like...
I think our discussion was very good.
I thought our discussion on that movie was very good.
Especially since we had to do it 3 times. We refined it so much.
It's true. All right, guys. Thanks so much.
See ya next week.
See ya never.
Losers.
Next week. Bye.
Bye.